Thank you, Michael, for leading us in our scripture lesson, reminding us to pay attention. I'm going to start using that maybe. I don't know. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. This is our fourth and final Sunday dealing with this topic of faith. We began in Hebrews. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Immense trust in what cannot be fully explained keeps us not only grounded but certain that God's goodness is at work in this world. We then jumped into a boat with Peter as the waves tortured his vessel, and we explored how faith is not the absence of fear, but the courage to walk through our fear to follow the one calling our name. And last week, we were encamped with the Israelites as they were wandering the wilderness, and even though God gave them everything they needed to survive, they complained. They wanted more. More meat, more manna, more. And it was in their faithlessness, in their lack of faith, in which revealed the good news that God still continued to provide for them, continued to reach out, continued to make God's self known, even when the people rebelled against God. And in so doing, the grace that it's God's faith that is steadfast from everlasting to everlasting. For this final Sunday, I invite us to think about the idea of a faith that can wrestle. A faith that can wrestle. Which is not often how we talk about faith. Faith is something we have or something we possess. We either have faith or we don't have faith. We have found faith or remains hidden or is secret. Faith feels like a thing sometimes. And if I were going to name that thing, I would say a cross-stitched pillow that is used for decoration only. Do you know the pillow I'm talking about? You might have one at your home or you've been to a place that has that. These pillows are stuffed to the max. Okay, you put it behind your back and it doesn't feel very relaxing. You try to lay your head on it and it just feels like you're laying on a rock. The only real purpose is it's something to look at, but you don't really use it. In fact, you may even store it year-long until Thanksgiving or Christmas. Is our faith a decoration? Something nice to look at briefly, but in the grand scheme of our lives, only serves a purpose for a season. And once that season is over, we pack it away. And then we experience great change or sudden loss, and we reach for this thing and we dust it off, but is it enough to meet that moment? I'm convinced that faith is not something we possess, but a seed that needs to be nurtured. Thomas Merton asserts that faith is the beginning of our communion with God, and as faith deepens and as our communion with God deepens, our faith becomes more and more intensive, and at the same time, it reaches out to affect everything else we think and do. Just imagine tending to a small tree sapling with the hopes that it would become a big tree. For that, one would have to water it, make sure it had ample sunlight. You may even have to put a little cage around it so that critters wouldn't destroy it. And as it grows, its roots get deeper. It reaches out in all directions. Little by little, you won't have to give it as much attention as you did at first because it's gotten much stronger. Even when the weather picks up, it can withstand high winds and storms, and in so doing, it also strengthens its branches and deepens its roots. It isn't about whether we have faith, but it's how our faith has grown. Not that our faith is a nice decoration, but what about our faith can we do with it for our lives, and how is our faith fruit, not just for us, but for others? Before we get to this morning's scripture lesson, it's important to know that Jacob has been undergoing some growing pains. He recently deceptively stole his older brother's blessing from his blind father, which was not just a blessing, but the authority to lead an entire nation, and also to receive God's blessing with that. Because his brother Esau was enraged enough to kill him, Jacob has had to live in the wilderness for a while. But he was never truly alone. Since the first night where he laid his head, you may recall that there were angels ascending and descending at Jacob's ladder. He was at the very gate of heaven. He has grown in many ways and has matured into someone that trusts and relies upon God. However, there is also in the back of his mind a fear about the day when Esau finds him. He starts a family. He has wives. Yes, plural. He has children. And that fear is not just for him, but it becomes about his family and those in his community. The storm is coming, and it has been building for nearly 10 years. And so what does this man of faith do? He prays. He prays an honest prayer from the heart. Deliver me, save me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He reaches out to God. Jacob learns that Esau and his army are not far off. As a sign of good faith, Jacob sends gifts to his brother, but he doesn't know if that does any good. He is uncertain if this will help, and so Jacob sends his family across the river to safety and waits there in the night by himself for whatever comes. What do you think he was feeling in that moment? Did he feel alone and afraid? Did he think, finally, this is it, God has abandoned me? Or perhaps did he recall the night on Bethel when he fell asleep on the rock but woke up to a dream of angels in the very gate of heaven? Did he find strength and courage? For there were countless times when he faced uncertainty and trial, but he always managed to recognize God's promises pulled through, even when it was stressful and challenging. Let's go back to that tree for a second. That began as a seed and has grown up to be strong. A good arborist will tell you that the strongest trees are the ones that can endure constant wind. Because its limbs and trunks are being pushed around, the trees actually develop a new type of wood called reaction wood. I didn't know that until this week. Reaction wood is stronger and composed differently than other parts of the tree. And if you've ever been on a walk and saw a tree that's at a 90-degree angle, which I call elbow trees, wondering how that happened, it's reaction wood. Because of stress or a time or season, the tree had to overcome. The tree changed itself. It transformed itself so it could grab the light that it needed. Think about those events that have formed you. The times or situations where the wind never let go, and it could be right now. What about your faith, your relationship with God in the midst of that? What if our communion with God, as it intensifies, creates this reaction faith, a stronger bond or connection with God, where the branches have to learn to reach out for God's Son for energy and sometimes affirmation? imagine what our faith could do. It certainly wouldn't be the end of rough times, but it would mean that no matter where we were or what we were going through, or how divided our world gets, we could keep our center and still grow, still produce fruit and more seeds. Just imagine how different our world would be. And so Jacob is about to face Esau, the biggest storm his faith will endure. But something happens just before this moment. Suddenly, out of the dark came a man, and he began to wrestle Jacob with all the strength that he had. And he couldn't see his face. He could have thought it was Esau or someone else, only we know that it was God that shows up in the midst of struggle. And Jacob is ready to wrestle. He's been preparing for 10 years. And all night they wrestle. Day is just about to break, and God notices that God's not going to prevail against Jacob, who was resilient and so desperate. God hits him on the hip socket and puts his joint out of its socket. And Jacob continues with the pain, with the struggle, because he's ready. God calls out, "Let me go." Can you imagine that? God calls out, "Let me go, for day is breaking." You see, God feared that when he saw him face to face, that Jacob may die. Both here are at risk. Jacob, his life, and God, the one whom he loves enough to challenge his faith and strengthen it. Jacob says, "I will not let go until you bless me." And God blesses him. He takes God to the breaking point. Another layer of reaction wood. He grows stronger. If he can hold his own with God and get a blessing, he certainly should be able to live up to his brother and repair that relationship. And if you keep reading, he does. And Esau, too, has grown in faith and has set aside his anger and just wants to be united. A faith that can wrestle, can overcome, and find grace and love and a blessing. I want to close with this poem. It comes from Jan Richardson from her book of poems, The Cure for Sorrow. And it's appropriately named Jacob's Blessing. If this blessing were easy, anyone could claim it. As it is, I am here to tell you that it will take some work. This is the blessing that visits you in the struggling, in the wrestling, in the striving. This is the blessing that comes after you have left everything behind, after you have stepped out, after you have crossed into that realm beyond every landmark you have known. This is the blessing that takes all night to find. It's not that this blessing is so difficult, as if it were not filled with grace or with love that lives in every line. It's simply that it requires you to want it, to ask for it, to place yourself in its path. It demands that you stand to meet it when it arrives, that you stretch yourself in ways you didn't know you could move, that you agree to not give up. So when this blessing comes, born in the hands of the difficult angel who has chosen you, do not let go. Give yourself into its grip. It will wound you, but I tell you there will come a day when what felt to be like limping was something more like dancing as you moved into the cadence of your new and blessed name. Thanks be to God. Amen.